A reading from the Epistle. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship.
Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned.
For as in one body we have many members, and not all the same members have the same function.
So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another.
We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith.
Ministry in ministering.
The teacher in teaching.
The encourager in encouragement.
The giver in sincerity.
The leader in diligence.
The compassionate in cheerfulness.
Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good.
Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer.
Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Youth Sunday is one of my very favorite Sundays of the whole year. A morning when we're led by our youth in word, song, and spirit. There are close to 60 teenagers in our youth group, 60 7th through 12th graders, whose talents and gifts are varied and vast. They are athletes, musicians, vocalists and instrumentalists, thespians, visual artists, social media influencers, trained dancers, cheerleaders, scholars, comedians, student council members, National Honor Society and National Junior Honor Society members, and even one of them was president at their school this last year. One of our youth is enrolled in a cosmetology program through their high school. One of them has their black belt in karate, and I tell him he's kind of like our bouncer of the youth group. Just in case. Several of them compete in whiz quiz, and most of them carry out advocacy work separate from what they do with their volunteer and mission work with Broadway. Advocacy work such as ending the epidemic of gun violence, feeding the hungry, traveling to different countries to build homes, and make a way for other teenagers and humans in other places in the world. Fighting for racial and gender equity, and seeking justice for the LGBTQ+ community. When choosing the scriptures for today's service, Romans 12 came to mind almost immediately. One of Paul's favorite metaphors is of the Christian church as a body. Each part of the body carries out its own function. However prominent or however humbly unseen that function may be, the church should be like that. Each member has a task to do, and it's only when each contributes the help of her own task that the body of the church functions as it should. When taking a closer look, important rules for life exist within this portion of Paul's letter to the Romans. First, it urges us to know ourselves. An honest assessment of our own capabilities, without arrogance or without false modesty, is one of the first essentials of life. Secondly, it urges us to accept ourselves and to use the gifts God has given us. The Stoics believed there was a spark of God in every living creature. even a creature seemingly insignificant, like the earthworm. The 13th century Persian poet Rumi put it this way: "You are not a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop." Thirdly, Paul is saying that whatever gift a person has comes from God. And finally, whatever gift a person has been given by God should be offered as a contribution to the common good. To our youth, in the same way God empowered young people to lead and step into their calling, like the young prophet Jeremiah, appointed to uproot and to plant, even when he felt unworthy, or young David, who triumphed over an enemy who seemed impossible to defeat, or young Mary, the mother of Jesus, who said yes to God when the world only offered risk and shame, or young Miriam, the courageous sister of Moses, who sang freedom's song on the shores of liberation. God has empowered you to lead right now, not just in your adulthood, not one day when you grow up, but right now. And God empowers our younger children too. As their parents and grandparents, their mentors and ministers, it is imperative to remember that our children and youth are not extensions of ourselves. Our children and youth are created in the image of God, the Imago Dei. They are their own people with their own set of values, goals, their own gifts, and their own God-given calling, whatever that may be. And the thing is, that's not for us as adults to declare to you what your God-given calling is. It's for you to discover in relationship to the divine, and then you're going to proclaim that to us and to the world, not the other way around. Of course, we can and should help them develop their gifts, and in some cases, help them to see what often can't be seen unless observed from outside of themselves. But too often, adults hinder the God-given calling on young people's lives. The church too often hinders the God-given calling on young people's lives. As Jesus followers, we must remember and embody what Jesus taught the disciples. He said, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." In our Hebrew Bible scripture from Isaiah, it was written, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And what's theology got to do with it? Anthony B. Robinson writes, "One prayer of invocation goes like this: Come, Holy Spirit, break us open and make us new. Break us open and make us new." How do you respond to this prayer? What in it speaks to you? What about making us new brings you discomfort? I firmly believe that God calls us to discomfort. And although the context of the Isaiah passage isn't necessarily about empowering teenagers in the synagogue and in the world, it did serve as a reminder to the people of Israel of what God had done previously. When God led them out of Egyptian captivity, and how they could trust God's promises of deliverance now in this insurmountable crisis they were facing with Babylon. God was up to something. God is up to something right now. Creation is continuing. So are we able to ask the hard questions? What's really going on? What is God up to in our community and in the world? What is God calling us to do in this time? Recently, I took a week-long intensive course at Bright Divinity School called Transforming Leadership with Dr. Barbara McClure. In the class, we discovered how transforming our minds is foundational in leadership. It allows us to first name our values and the means by which we live out those values, which Dr. McClure referred to as little packets of energy that we hold internally. I like that, little packets of energy. We discussed at length how the opportunities for spiritual leaders are boundless, but so too are the challenges. And I experienced a great awakening when I read that everywhere you trip is where the treasure lies. If only we could approach our mistakes with this mindset. If not just spiritual leaders, but leaders of any kind could embrace error. Last summer, I began dreaming of a theme for our 2025 chapel choir tour to Charleston this upcoming summer. And the phrase often attributed to Mahatma Gandhi kept coming to the forefront of my mind. Be the change you want to see in the world. My thoughts centered on the path we've taken as a church, which is exceptionally fascinating in my unique perspective of growing up in the same youth group years ago. So I continued to pray about it and waited for God to lead me to affirm this idea that I had for the tour. In January, during our annual midwinter retreat at Camp Broadway, the youth had the honor of meeting with Bishop Malkaz Sanglashvili from the Republic of Georgia. After he shared his incredible wisdom, we had the opportunity to have a Q&A session with him. Someone in the room asked if he had always been this wise, and Bishop Malkaz immediately laughed and explained that his life had been a journey he was still walking, but that as a young person, he remembered being inspired by the quote, "Be the change you want to see in the world." There it was, the confirmation and affirmation I was waiting for God to give me. So in response to Bishop Malkaz, I stood and announced our theme for our upcoming Charleston choir tour, Be the Change. As chapel choir rehearsed Laura Farnell's Be the Change that you just heard a moment ago, I asked them to name heroes who have embodied that call. Dr. King, Malala, President Obama, Nelson Mandela, Jesus. I asked them to invoke the spirit of those leaders as they sang, because Be the Change is more than a feel-good phrase. It's not just an ideal, it's a directive. It's a call to action for them, but not just for them, for you and for me. And my dear friend, Laura Farnell, who is a dear friend of our church and of many of you, she incorporates the Be the Change You Want to See in the World text throughout the composition, but also the words of Dr. King and of the beloved song, This Little Light of Mine. In NPR's American Anthem series, they explained how This Little Light of Mine, originally a beloved children's song, became a civil rights anthem. Freedom singer Ruth Mae Harris said, "You can't just sing This Little Light of Mine, you gotta shout it." Harris went on to describe how she and her fellow freedom singers belted out songs to get through protests in the early 1960s. This Little Light of Mine, she said, helped steady their nerves as abusive police officers with billy clubs threatened to beat them. It kept them from being afraid, she said. You'd start singing the song, and somehow those billy clubs would not hit you. It played a very important role during the movement, she said. Be the Change is a call to nonviolence and truth, which are the two most well-known of Gandhi's six principles of moral living. I recently listened to the I Don't Know How You Do It podcast, where Jessica Fine interviewed Perry Garfinkel, a journalist, editor, and author for 40 years, who undertook a remarkable 18-month journey of living out Gandhi's six rules, six principles. In reflecting on his life-changing journey, Perry said, "The biggest challenge is to look into the mirror. What is your truth? Who are you? Why are you here? What are you doing to help others live a virtuous life? What are you doing to ensure that you live a virtuous life?" The bottom line is, if we want the world to change, we have to change ourselves. I began this sermon by outlining all of the wonderful gifts of our youth, the things they do, which is how society teaches us to define success and leadership, right? We want a quantifiable measure to prove someone's worth, to prove our own. One of our youth group leaders, Ava, a wise and thoughtful junior, offered a response that stopped me in my tracks. Reflecting on what it means to be the change, she wrote, "You can't change your actions without changing your mindset. If you are moved to be the change, you will live to reflect that." Ava is reminding us that meaningful, life-giving transformation starts within before it can ever spread out to others. Because the quote isn't, "Do the change." It's, "Be the change." And being starts with a shift inside, a renewal of the mind, a transformation of your heart. Just like Paul writes in Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer your whole self, body, spirit, mindset, as a living sacrifice." That's worship. That's change. And when we begin there, when we can be the change, we can love without pretense. We can outdo one another in showing honor. We can bless and serve and hope and rejoice and persevere. We can be the body of Christ. So don't just do something. Be something. Be yourself. Be transformed. Be the change. May it be so. Amen.